One of the things that made us fall in love with this house right from the beginning is the amazing front porch, the wraparound front porch that ends at this awesome porch swing. However, after 3 years of living in this house, it's funny that we actually end up spending more time outside time at home in the backyard more than the front. The backyard is awesome, but it doesn't have a porch swing, and it also doesn't have as many random chances for encounters with strangers, I mean, neighbors. A big reason for this, I have to admit, is that for most of our time living here, the front of our house has been kind of embarrassing. See, within a few weeks of moving in, we had a leak in our water main, and that's in the front yard, like right over there. And so they had to bring in a big backhoe and dig up a giant hole in our front yard, and which meant that all that dirt then moved over to the middle of our yard with rocks and dirt everywhere. Eventually the backhoe left, but they left behind those piles of dirt and rocks they didn't really bother to clean up. Now, of course, we tried to put it all back ourselves and trying to figure out how to move the grass around and all of that, but it was just so baked in by that time, we just couldn't do it ourselves. And of course, the water main was very expensive to fix, so we just couldn't afford to hire anyone to help us with it. So our front yard became something we kind of tried just not to think about for a while, and then we just prayed that our neighbors wouldn't report us to the HOA. You know, it's funny, for all the things that Ruby Sales offers as a description of the front porch, she never once talks about it being embarrassing or a source of shame. Even though there's definitely a kind of judgment that happens on her front porch, like, you know, a clear accounting of right and wrong, there's no shame there exactly. There's just belonging, or as she says, a sense of being claimed. It makes me think that the particular shape of my shame links to whiteness and upper middle class identity. The desire, you know, to look a certain way, to have things put away. Definitely don't let anyone know that there's something that you need but can't afford. Or really, don't let anyone know that you have needs at all, right? Over the past few weeks, I've been thinking a lot about how our neighborhoods, the literal places where we live, deal with this reality of human need, and how a lot of our neighborhoods, mine included, conspire with this story of a comprehensive self-sufficiency and need as a source of shame. On this front porch, my front porch, it can seem like belonging works like in exactly the opposite ways that Ruby Sales describes. It is like showing your needs or your imperfections would break belonging rather than strengthen it. Parker Palmer talks about this in his article, 13 Ways of Looking at Community. He says, "When I flourish, it is easy to maintain the illusion of separateness. Easy to imagine that I alone am responsible for my good fortune. Often it just takes like your life going a little bit off track or a lot off track. Some experience where this, your need is made just a little more obvious. Maybe you lose your job or your relationship. Maybe someone that you love gets sick or injured, or you get sick or injured. Someone you love dies, or maybe you find yourself in the middle of a pandemic, working full time and contemplating how you're also going to be helping your children learn at home 3 days a week, right? All these things and so much more remind us that, as Parker Palmer says, we need each other. We need other people for comfort, encouragement, support, criticism, challenge, and collaboration. Self-sufficiency, I mean, it's just a lie. And maintaining it, trying to maintain that sense of self-sufficiency, it's a setup. One that the dominant culture and our economy, and not to mention our egos, would like us to buy into, but still a lie that ultimately holds us back from the community that we long for. Like the Starhawk reading that we started this series with a few weeks back, she writes, "We are all longing to go home to some place we have never been. A place half remembered and half envisioned. We can only catch glimpses from time to time. Community. Somewhere, there are people to whom we can speak with passion, without having the words catch in our throats. Somewhere, a circle of hands will open to receive us. Eyes will light up as we enter. Voices will celebrate with us whenever we come into our own power. Community means strength that joins with our strength to do the work that needs to be done. Arms to hold us when we falter, a circle of healing, a circle of friends. Some place where we can be free. It is that time of year where a lot of us are thinking about freedom. As we mark another anniversary of our country's Declaration of Freedom, that vast vision of freedom for all, spoken as it was in the beginning and is now as a statement of faith. I mean, a statement more aspirational than true, but still a promise that many of us have given ourselves to with hope. In these days, our faith is often faltering. We face our country's flag with more doubt than drive, more ache than admiration. As Bill Moyers writes, the reigning presumption about American experience is grounded in the idea of progress, the conviction that the present is better than the past and the future will bring even more improvements. For all of its shortcomings, we've told ourselves the system works. Now, however, all bets are off. A mass resignation defined as believing in the dogma of democracy on a superficial public level, but not believing in it at all privately. This mass resignation lives within so many of us. I know a lot of us pin our hopes on the November election, wanting to believe that the pain and division of the last few years have been a diversion in our national story rather than a reveal of our main plot. Now, I don't want to downplay, of course, the importance of that election. Elections, as they say, have consequences, and this one will have some of the most tangible consequences of perhaps any election in my lifetime, in many of our lifetimes. And still, elections are not where I place my hope. Where I place my hope is right here on the front porch, right here. Not the fake front porch, of course, that white supremacy and capitalism pushes us to perform, that front porch that would have me ashamed at the fact that I couldn't pay for someone to help me to clean up my mess. No, but the front porch faith where we form authentic relationships, real and sacred community, where Ruby Sales says we share our defeats, our apprehension, victories, secrets, and aspirations. A front porch faith that reminds us we are all in this together in ways that are universal and also in ways that are radically different and particular, and that celebrates each of these. And a front porch faith that reminds us that it is up to us to create the world where all of us in our universality and our particularity can thrive. When Ruby Sales describes the front porch, she's of course talking about a literal front porch, as well as a metaphorical way of being together. Both of these are important as we build and rebuild our nation and a common life grounded in the common good. What I mean is, like Sean said a couple weeks ago, we have to start here. I mean, like literally here. Because as Parker Palmer writes, community is not a goal to be achieved, it's a gift to be received. Which means like whether you like it or not, or know it or not, or want it or not, the place where you live, the literal place where you live, and in the concentric circles that extend outward from there, all of this is already your community. And so the work before us is not to create community, but to receive it. That is, to open our hearts wide enough to the connectedness that is already present, and to practice being in authentic relationship with those with whom you are already in relationship, to make visible rather than invisible your own neediness. To make visible rather than invisible your own neediness. And to respond to the messiness and vulnerability that's present in you and in others with compassion and generosity. To care for more than your own children. To know each other well enough and to have a sense of each other's commitment to your common good and shared human flourishing that you can call each other in when you fall off track. Now, this is not necessarily about creating intimacy. It's about, instead of being intentional, about our already existing connectedness. As Palmer also says, his definition of community is, this is a quote, that place where the person you least want to live with always lives. Which reminds us that real community is not some sort of idealized experience without pain or disappointment or annoyance or betrayal. It is actually the opposite, right? Community is that place where we practice dealing with all of these realities, these experiences, and then growing through them, healing together through them. We definitely need these skills if we're going to imagine an America that can honestly deal with and redeem our complex and painful history. A history that, as Tom said in his video, is also our present, starting not in like Minneapolis or in Atlanta or even in Aurora, but rather where we are, starting here in Fort Collins, starting in Loveland, starting in Wellington, starting in the very place that you live. We need to get out on the front porch of our own neighborhoods and learn and pass on the important stories that shape both who we are today, who's here and who's not, and why, and who we are going to become. And then with this as our grounding, we can manifest this way of being as a vision and a way of life for us all. One of my teachers, the great civil rights leader, Dr. Vincent Harding, he used to say, when it comes to creating a multiracial, multiethnic, multireligious, democratic society, we are still a developing nation. What I appreciate about this is that it reminds us that we're just beginning. We're beginners. We are still learning, and learning requires mistakes and failures and imperfections. And learning and unlearning also requires that in the face of these experiences, we keep trying. It is not too late for us to find ourselves on the front porch and to live out a front porch faith. And it is faith that we need here, because we're not always going to see the results that we're aiming for, right? I mean, there's no quick fixes on the porch. There's just relationship. Messy, imperfect, and long haul relationship. Relationship where we learn to release each other from shame, shrug off the stories of self-sufficiency, and build together the beloved community, the dream that is built not on a declaration of independence, but in the promise that we are all in this together, interconnected, interdependent, knowing that for any of us to be free, we need to all get free together. Amen. Blessed be.